Tech is a bi-weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Welcome to Wells Tech, everybody. This is episode 728, and we're recording it on July 1st, 2024. Wells Tech is a show about technology and ministry, and my name is Martin Spriggs, and helping me discuss the news of the day or stuff we find interesting is Sally Draper. Hello, Sally.
Hello, Martin. And yeah, the news of the day around my parts has been that there was this ginormous dam downstream from us that was heading our direction. And I'm guessing a lot of the world heard about it. It was kind of crazy how the flooding in southern Minnesota caused this dam to fail and reroute the river completely. It was really something to see it unfold. And I was right here waiting for it to flood us out. And
yeah.
Thankfully, God spared us from that. So
we're so all's well or all's okay at this point.
At our place, it is. City of North Mankato has lowered their defenses. We actually have really good flood walls. Apparently, there's been flooding in many years past. I think most people reference 1965 as the most recent bad flooding. And they built some really high flood walls. But there was one vulnerable spot in North Mankato, and they built this earth wall that was like 20 feet long and 8 to 10 to 12 feet high. I heard really high anyway. And it had clay in it. So it was supposed to stop the floodwaters, be another levee for us. And then they had to clean all that up. It shut down a major intersection. Traffic was just insane. And now they have removed our special levee and we're supposedly getting back to normal.
They saved the pie shop.
Unfortunately, no. Oh. It went down on Friday. What they decided to do was take it down before it got engulfed. And so they actually destroyed it. It was really sad. Yeah. But yeah, this longstanding.
And I never knew about this. Now I'm not going to be able to. And I love pie.
Oh, my goodness.
Passion of mine. So
they plan to start
reopen
again.
Reopen someplace.
That's what they've said. So sadly, their house was consumed. I'm sure many people saw the house going in the water. And I later heard that it wasn't covered by insurance because it was a landslide or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, it was very close to the Rapidan Dam store where they daily made amazing homemade hamburgers and a slate of homemade pies every day. And so hopefully they will do that again someday soon.
The Lots power of water in such a short period of time, it's not much of a stretch to think back to the flood and see what why that was the mechanism that God used to start over.
Wow, so true. It was amazing to watch it unfold. Mm-hmm. Just mind-bending.
On to other things. We have a lighter fare over the summer. We try to keep it upbeat, and we talked to some interesting people across the Synod about some of the things they're doing in ministry and technology, and we continue that this week. Sally, who did we talk to?
We were blessed to talk to Pastor Joel Prange, who's in a brand new home mission, one of those many home missions that are starting up these days. He's out in Dickinson, North Dakota at Amazing Grace Lutheran Church. He's been there about 2 years, and it was really neat to catch up on all that's happened in that time period and where they're at currently and how they're using technology, how technology's helping them.
So let's listen to that conversation with Pastor Prange.
Joining us on Wells Tech today is Pastor Joel Prange. Pastor Prange serves at Amazing Grace Lutheran Church. I love the church name. That's out in Dickinson, North Dakota, somewhere I've actually worshiped. It's a home mission church that's just over or right at 2 years old, probably celebrating an anniversary soon. Welcome to the show, Pastor.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're thrilled to have you. We've been doing a series this summer of interviews around the Synod, just learning about different things that are going on in different locations. And home missions was one that's at the top of our list. Everyone's excited about all the home mission work being done currently. And we thought you'd be a great person to learn more about that. So maybe start by introducing yourself to our WellsTech audience. Tell us who you are and where what's going on in your life.
Yeah, my name is Pastor Joel Prangy. I graduated the seminary in 2022 and was assigned to start the church out here in Dickinson. On paper, when we were told that we were coming out here, it said we had 9 adults and 3 kids that we get to work with. And when we got out here, there was one guy setting up a live stream, holding the thing together, basically, with another family coming occasionally. So that was kind of the situation that we found ourselves in when we moved out here. But from a personal standpoint, Lydia, my wife, moved out here with me, and she was 7 months pregnant. So we got out here in July, and then our first one was born in September. So new parents, new church, new call, all this stuff that was going on. Moved in to a rented house that we're still living in. And then just a month ago on May 24th, our second daughter was born. Adeline was born.
Oh. So
now we have two
congratulations.
Kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. And so that's kind of what's going on in my life. Yeah.
And you're awake for a WellsTech podcast after having a newborn in the house. Good for you.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about Dickinson. Where is it? And describe it a little bit for our audience. I'm sure many of us have not been to Dickinson.
So if you hop on 94 in Wisconsin and just keep driving west, you'll run into Dickinson.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
an hour or two past Milwaukee, or
yeah, 1 or 2 hours. Yeah. So you drive, it's the southwest corner of North Dakota. You can kind of divide North Dakota into thirds, and then the line that divides those thirds are the two main east to west highways, and there are 6 major cities on there. And Dickinson is the southwest big city in North Dakota. It has, because of oil field work, it's hard to get the exact numbers of the size of the city, but it's anywhere between 25 and 30,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
In Dickinson, and it's doubled in size over the past 15 years because of oil field work. It is not necessarily the city where single guys come to live. They move up to the Williston, Watford City area for oil field to work. But the mid-level managers or guys who move up here with a family or a girlfriend or a wife come and move to Dickinson because there's a little bit more creature comforts that the city has to offer than kind of the bare bones cities that the other places are. So that's kind of the demographic that you're working with here. There, the average age in Dickinson is 32. Wow. So there's a lot of young families, over 7,000 kids under high school age or younger out of the 25,000 for the population. So a lot of kids running around, a lot of young families, and oil field money is what the new people who are coming in kind of bring to the town.
So, Very interesting. Kind of a high cost of living out there as well because of that oil economy.
Yep. High cost of living, and just it's remote. It's a little bit harder to get things out here because you go 200 miles to the west or 200 miles south, and there's really no big cities. The next one would be Rapid City, Spearfish area down south. And then in Montana, you can go really far without, it's, the highway says 400 miles to Billings. That's the next big city that they, that it says. So Dickinson kind of serves as the hub for all those things. You see license plates in the Walmart parking lot from Wyoming, from Montana, and from South Dakota anytime you go to Walmart, because people come up here for their Walmart runs or their basic.
So it certainly makes sense why our home missions team would identify that area. Certainly a lot of souls to reach and a growing area. I'm sure a lot of people have not spent time in a home mission. Talk to us about that experience and what starting a congregation is like. It seemed it would probably seem very intimidating to many to come where there's just maybe one person that you've got a connection with. What do you do day one, and then how has that been working over the last couple of years here?
Day one, you drive around the city and kind of just get a feel for it. For Dickinson, it's not that hard. It's not a huge city. But then you, so on paper, there were 9 adults and 3 kids. So the first step was, hey, let's get these 9 adults and 3 kids together. And then once you establish those and they, I was able to get them together, then you move on to the next group and you work their networks. So if they have friends or they have family members, quick anecdote with that is we were meeting in a hotel room and there's someone that I was able to connect with who serviced that hotel because he goes around and treats for bugs. Like he sprays in the corners of the building to keep the bugs from coming in. And he has all sorts of clients that he does. And he was just talking with the front desk and they asked him if he had a church. And he said, no, my church body isn't out here. It's a Wells church body. And they're like, oh, I think they actually meet in our conference room. And so then I was able to connect with him through that. Wow. And now he's a part of our core group. So it's just like you work a lot of networks and that's what you're doing out here. Dickinson kind of has a culture of good old boys club. People have been here for 3-4 generations. So the only way that they're going to trust you is if a friend also trusts us. So that's kind of what we're doing. And we're starting to just make inroads into the community. Even after 2 years, it just takes a long time to work those networks and do that friendship evangelism. That's what we're emphasizing.
So are you still in that hotel conference room or have you graduated from that?
Yeah, right away we started looking for a new space. Because there were so few people when we first started worshiping, we actually moved to our living room because we were like, well, why do we need to spend money and the hassle of renting out a conference room if we didn't have the time? But then we quickly outgrew that with the group that we had, and there were just a lot of kids that came, and that didn't work so well in our living room. So we started looking for a permanent space. But because of the volunteer power that we had, we didn't want to do the church in a box method, which would mean you set up every Sunday morning and you take it down, set up, take down kind of. So we looked for a storefront, and after a number of options fell through, we finally found a new build storefront. So that's where we're in right now. We launched last year in October of 23. So we haven't even been worshiping for a full year yet, but we're in that new storefront, worshiping every Sunday, utilizing it. I'm sitting in that right now for my office. So, yeah.
Pretty exciting. Well, we are a technology podcast, so we always have to ask the burning technology questions. I'm guessing that technology plays somewhat of a role. You must have technology in that new building. You probably get guidance and support through technology. Can you tell us a little bit about the technology angle of Amazing Grace?
Yeah. So I'm not good at Facebook, but we use Facebook as advertising. I don't really think of it as outreach. I think of it as more just having a presence on the internet. But we're always posting pictures of things that we're doing, and we kind of keep up with that. So we want to keep our social media presence going. We have updated the website twice. We had Luke Draper as a member of our... I just name dropped Sally's son.
That name sounds familiar.
Yeah, he was a member of our church and he helped us get our website going. He he does that for a job, so he had us get that all up and running. And then we've tweaked it since then because we figure anyone who's going to check us out at least looks at our website once. They might not go to it every Sunday. They might not use it for a news bulletin or anything like that, but they check it out once to see what we're all about. So we wanted that to look nice. Surprisingly, one of the main ways that I'm communicating with people is through texting. So I'm constantly using my phone to text members and text prospects. That's just where we're at. It's way more intimidating to call, and texting gives them the ability to respond when they want. Especially for prospects. when we plan worship, I use Service Builder for setting up worship, and that saves me a lot of time for setting up the bulletins and the PowerPoint for worship. We do have a screen in front of church that we set up. We figure if the average age of people in Dickinson is 32 and there's a lot of young families, there's going to be a lot of people who come to check us out that have kids, and that's proven to be true. So we figure sometimes it's hard to hold a worship folder. So having the screen displayed in front of church is really easy and nice for them, so they can just follow along with worship without having to use one of their hands to hold a worship folder. Mm-hmm. We need volunteers to click through that, so that's always a fun thing that we're working through. We started recording the sermons with it's a DJI product that people use to kind of record videos. Mm-hmm. It's a microphone that you clip to and your shirt or to anything, and then it's a Bluetooth controller, so you can turn it on and turn it off. So we have someone in the congregation just hit record right before the sermon starts and then turn it off right after the sermon's done. And we upload those through SoundCloud onto our website. And that's kind of the way we've balanced not having to run and operate a full-blown live stream because we don't really have the manpower to do it well, but we still want to make sure our sermons, so people, if they want to listen to what we're preaching and kind of get a feel for what our doctrine is and what we're teaching sounds like, they can still listen to those. And we get about 10 listeners a Sunday. So that's been going good for us. I'm trying to think for technology. This is kind of an off the wall one, but when we were setting up our worship space, I have a member who has chief architect on his computer. So instead of getting the people who are building our space to design something for us, he just gave me his computer and I designed it with chief architect so we could lay it all out and put up the walls where we wanted and see how it all looks and put chairs in there and kind of walk around it too and get a 3D rendering of it. So that was another cool piece of technology that was able to serve us well as we designed the worship space that we're now in.
Right. Do you do anything for prospect tracking or member tracking?
Yep. Right now for prospect tracking, I use Excel spreadsheets. It's easily in hand. It's enough for me to handle right now where mm-hmm. I can just do that. We have set up, it's called Church Center. It's an app that any member or anyone can download and become and follow our church. We're just on Church Center. And that connects with Planning Center, which is on the back end, what I can use to go and see, track people who have questions, set up groups, set up ways for people to communicate with each other. And it also integrates nicely with Stripe and our website on WordPress. So those two things all go hand in hand with each other. So now we have online giving, or people can text to give. We also have an offering box in the back of church, but there's those digital ways for them to give as well. That's all through this Planning Center or Church Center app that we have that you can access on your phone.
Very nice.
That's pretty awesome. Lots of technology going on there.
Yeah.
What's next for Amazing Grace, Pastor? What big things are you guys working on now?
Yeah, so we have the philosophy that you want to do one thing really, really well. And once you master that or get it down really well, you move on to the next thing. You don't try to do 10 things at once. You just do one thing really well, then the next thing. So our first thing that we're doing really well was worship. We said, let's spend a year worshiping every Sunday, mastering that, getting it all set up, utilizing our worship space well, figuring out the technology behind things, the volunteers for running worship, and then move on to the next thing. And we just started up Sunday morning Bible study and Sunday school. And now we started up a midweek Bible study for the summer. So we're going to do those really well. And then we're going to move on to the next thing and decide what that is. All throughout this time, we're continuing with outreach and trying to connect with the community and going to events and volunteering for things and all of that. That's kind of our philosophy. So that's how we're moving forward. And it's slow and stable and steady. And I think that's what Dickinson is looking for and what Dickinson wants, more than fast paced. Let's do everything really quick and explode. And we're just slowly moving along. So, yep.
Sounds wonderful. Well, we appreciate you taking some mountain time out of your schedule. We were talking beforehand about the differences in mountains and central time and how that can get confusing. So blessings on that new baby and your growing family, and obviously blessings on Amazing Grace and your growing family in Christ there.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. I appreciate you guys taking the time to talk with me about this and learn more about what's going on out here.
Thanks, Joel, for joining us. Thank you, Joel, for your time, and blessings on your continued work there in Dickinson, North Dakota. Nice conversation.
It was, and I was able to look up many of the references that he gave, including the one to the DJI mic that he's using. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really interesting how it connects via Bluetooth, and they can do their recordings, and it's already for them advancing into live streaming and things like that. So you can even get a fuzzy little microphone damper for it if you're so inclined. But yeah, looks like holds 8 gig and has 32-bit float internal recording. So 14 hours of recording. Seems like a really, really nice microphone.
Getting nice and small too.
Yeah.
And you can plug in a lav to this, I believe, as well. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not that bad for pricing, $349 is what you're showing there. So very good.
Yeah.
Joel, thanks again. And continued blessings on your ministry in Dickinson. Mm-hmm. Sally, I think we can move on to our picks of the week.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm excited. Mm. You know, this whole summer professional development bingo, it's turning into a lot of fun, Martin. I might do it all year long. Oh, who
look
knows?
At all those check marks.
Yeah, my check marks are kind of lining up. You were giving me a hard time last time, but I've got this diagonal thing going. We'll see. Uh-huh. This week, I checked off Write an AI Song with Suno, and I had not heard of Suno before, but actually my friend Matt Miller at Ditch That Textbook kind of turned me on to Suno, which has a free plan and allows you 10 songs a month, or you can get a paid plan. And look at this, with commercial licensing. So you can write AI music and use it commercially for $8 a month if you go with their yearly billing. So yeah, that sounds interesting, but is it really that good? Well, of course, I headed right over and created a free account. And the first thing I made was a llama song. Oh, you know what? I'm going to stop sharing. And I'm going to try that one more time because y'all got to hear my llama song. It's so good. Oh, it did have it checked.
It did. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. So yeah, a llama song. And it's so funny. I gave it just a tiny bit of prompt. There was a llama named Herman in rural Minnesota. And it actually wrote that into the lyrics. It's so funny. It says, love llamas, young and wild. Minnesota drives them mild. So I laughed and laughed at the Herman the Llama song. But, you know, I didn't want to stop there. I needed a Wells Tech song. And one thing you may notice is that when you prompt it to write a song, it actually creates two songs. It uses the same lyrics, but gives you kind of two different vibes on the song, two different.
You want to share your browser?
It says that I am. I'm sorry.
You're sharing your whole screen.
Oh,
no trade secrets there, unfortunately. So.
Yeah, there's a llama in the background, but that's about it. Okay, thanks for letting me know. So yeah, you only have 200 characters. You can upload a piece of audio so it can base the song off of some existing audio, but you just give it a really short prompt. I kind of said Wells Tech was about technology and ministry, hosted by Martin and Sally for over 16 years. And I ended up with this music. I'm going to just click... lyrics including 16 years of the tech game, Martin Sally making waves, ministry through bites and bits, faith and tech, they never quit. And kind of
someday we'll quit, but
from the code to microphones, building bridges, breaking stones, tools for every pastor's day, teaching love in a modern way. I thought it was pretty cool. Uh-huh. And so when you put in your prompt,
literally it spins for, I don't know, it only took it about 20 seconds to write this amazing lyric. And all of a sudden you can start playing the song. And so I got two versions and, you know, a little bit of an intro and that kind of thing.
16 years of the tech game, Martin, Sally making waves, ministry through bites and bits, faith in tech, they never quit.
Okay. And it gives you an image. You can see that I have an image mm-hmm. here. I'm not quite sure exactly what all those mean, but then it also, Martin, gives you a video. So there's my Herman the Llama video. Here's the second of the songs. You can tell it has a little bit different sound.
16 years of the tech game, Martin, Sally making waves, ministry through bites and bits, faith and tech, they never quit. Every week a new surprise, tech for church through their eyes, podcast with the golden hue, connecting hearts, spreading truth.
I
just can't get over the fact it gives you a music video with the words, you know, kind of highlighted as it sings through mm-hmm. the song. And yeah, I think it's a pretty impressive free tool. And if you want to pay for it, you could use it on your website or wherever you want to use it, because it can be commercially used. Yeah, so
I can see some nice applications in classrooms of all ages too.
Exactly.
That'd be fun. Awesome.
Yeah. And you can tell it to just create an instrumental if you want. You can, it has all different song types you can request. And then, of course, you can just come here and kind of search through all the different songs that people have created in a lot of different types and make your songs public if you want. So other people can discover them. So I did speak with the music teacher at our school, Risen Savior. Her name's Ashley Larson, and she said she had the kids using it in music class and kind of writing their own songs and things like that already this spring. So the good news is our friends at Ditch That Textbook linked to a form that you can fill out to get free credit as a teacher. And so I'll have that link in the show notes as well. So if you want to check it out for your classroom, suno.com, S-U-N-O. And yeah, just watch for those Wells Tech songs. You can pick out which one you think is your favorite. They'll be in the show notes as well.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I kind of took your lead in my pick of the week because I saw your stuff there and I thought, there's something that I use or we use at the Synod office here pretty regularly that is sound related that I don't think I've ever shared. And that is Epidemic Sound. You know, you watch YouTube videos and YouTubers often have background music, and this is pretty much the tool they use, although it has ministry applications too. But Epidemic Sound is a subscription service of very high quality music and sound effects. For a personal account, I think it's $120. For a commercial account, it's $300. And that gives you just more options. With the commercial account, you can use it for commercial purposes and attach it to three different social media types. A lot of people obviously use this for YouTube music. We use this music from Epidemic Sound as our intro and outro for Wells Tech. That's where we got it, Epidemic Sound. But if you do any kind of video projects, anything on social media that requires background music, this is probably the premier source on the internet. Super easy to search. You can search by lyric, you can search by instrumental, by tone, by tune, by mood. They have all kinds of things cataloged for you to try and make it easy for you to get the kind of sound that you're looking for. You can take pieces of it. You can pull out, I think, just different tracks of it. So if you just want the piano piece or the guitar piece or whatever, you can extract that. It's free to try. And I found essentially anything that we really needed to go along with any kind of video that we produce. So we use it all the time here. But epidemicsound.com is the URL. And give it a shot if you're looking for music. Again, it's not free, but it's not a bad price, especially if you use it quite a bit. So it's my pick of the week.
Awesome. Well, we got the music covered.
We do.
Something different next time. I'll have to figure out another genre.
Well, you got to keep checking your boxes.
Yeah.
Community feedback, Sally.
Well, first up, we heard from longtime friend of the show, Pastor Tom Custer, who oversees the Christ in Media efforts out of Bethany College, which is kind of a think tank group that wants to get media out there in ministry. And he came across a really great opportunity to do that by supporting a young man, a recent graduate of Bethany, who's a videographer. And his efforts with the Friends Network, he's heading over to Chiang Mai, Thailand. His name is Colin Neville, and he's going to spend a couple of years doing video work there in that ministry setting. He said here, somewhere in here, that he might travel to other countries besides Thailand as well. So lots of different ministry work. Pastor Custer actually attached a kind of a presentation overview of his travels, what's expected. And right now it's not coming up for me for some reason, but he was looking to tell the stories there in that setting with the ministry work that's happening there. So I think we'll see some really great media coming out of Colin's work. And there's opportunities here on the Friends Network site to donate to support his travels and his time there in Chiang Mai. So if you're interested in helping out, he's just one of the young missionaries headed to Chiang Mai through Friends Network. And so you can see all about all the different missionaries that are being sent out and where they're being sent all over the world. I guess just a quick shout out to an artistic missionary that's headed that way is Maida Jasperson. You'll remember Jason Jasperson, friend of the show as well. And now the second generation of Jasperson artists is headed out to Thailand also with Colin to do ministry work there on the artistic side.
Yeah, so lots of talent headed that way. Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of neat talent. And I'm super excited about what's going to be produced out of that.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Yeah, I don't know why my PDF didn't come up, but definitely watch for a link. You can learn more about it in our show notes. We'll have some other things that are related to Colin's efforts there.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. And then finally, we have friends everywhere. This message, community feedback, came from our friend Rachel Halderson, who was on the show recently talking about the 2-hour cocktail party and hospitality ministry, where you can just be friends with people and share your love of Jesus through your friendships and things. Well, recently, a friend of Rachel's who's part of the women's ministry group, Lori Ryan, wrote and said at a medical conference focused on AI tools, this product caught my eye. It's got a free version. It allows for presentations to be made in less than 10 minutes. It might be a great resource for our pastors in terms of presentation prep. And it's called Gamma.app. And just a really powerful way, apparently, to create presentations. I have not personally tried this one out, but Lori, who is a physician, was at a medical conference where it was recommended, said it was very impressive presentations with few prompts, and she thought that Wells Tech people would be interested. So how neat that we made that connection, and she's sharing on Wells Tech as well. Could save our pastors and teachers tons of time. So there were some sample ones that I scrolled through here, and they were really impressive. Not just your standard slideshow, but lots more to it. And I can't wait to try this out. I'll probably put it on my bingo card. Who knows?
There you go. So, AI everywhere, Sally.
It's true.
Yeah. Nice. If you'd like to contribute to the show, it's super easy to do. You can just send us an email, wellstech@wells.net. Or if you want to kind of peruse what we've been talking about and comment on a particular topic or a show, go to wellstech.wells.net. You will find every show we've ever done there, back to show one. Audio is available for every one of them, as well as the highlights that Sally so dutifully puts together, all the links, all that good stuff.
And the Wells Tech songs.
And the Wells Tech song.
They're coming soon.
Sally just went through a link cleansing. we kept the links there, even though some of them obviously are maybe bad over the years. That's going to happen as these things come and go, but at least they're there for historical purposes. But we try and keep that up. But a great resource if you're looking for things, use a search tool And again, leave a comment there. There's all kinds of links to social media where we frequent, and kind of a calendar there of coming events too. So next time we're going to continue our summer tech talks. Still working on who that might be, but I think hopefully you've been enjoying these. I know I have been. These have been great conversations, Sally, right?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So that's going to about do it for episode 728. Hope everybody has a safe and fun-filled July 4th celebration as we celebrate God's grace in our country. He has been so good to us to plant us here and continues to keep us safe. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.